ज्ञानाञ्जलिदण्डस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाचलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाकदं मह्यं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजाथाहं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं थं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च नमा ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पश्चत्यतेशधारिणे हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कान्ता राधा कान्ता नमोस्तुते तप्त कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुधे देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशकल्पाथरूभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासति गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरि 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 राम हरि राम 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 हरि हरि हरे कृष्ण 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 हरि 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 राम हरि राम 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 हरि हरि हरे कृष्ण 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 हरि 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 राम हरि राम 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 हरि हरि हरे कृष्ण।
I am especially grateful to be with all of you this evening. Thank you for coming. Every year, when I come for this program, I am so kindly greeted by our illustrious temple president, Rajahari Prabhu. This year we are very much missing his presence, his association. A few days back in Orissa, the holy land of Lord Jagannath, Rajahari Prabhu's blessed mother passed away from this world. Let us all offer a prayer for her immortal soul. Today is the disappearance day of Sripad Madhvacharya. Tomorrow is the disappearance day of Sripad Ramanuj Acharya. These are two of the great founders of the principal lineages of pure bhakti. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to give the essence of all scriptures in a very easy to accept and complete way to everyone, anyone who was willing to sincerely accept it. In Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, we read how he gave Krishna prema, prema pumarta mahan. The purushartha siromani. The Vedic literals declare that unmotivated, uninterrupted love for Krishna is the crest jewel, the highest perfection of all perfections, the very essence of liberation. Kalera dosa nide raja nasti heka mahan guna kirtana eva krishna sya mukta sangha param vraje. We're living in a time where it's very stormy. Stormy with suffering, reversals at any moment, and practically all-pervading inclination within people for quarrel and hypocrisy. It is the age of Kali. The Bhagavad Puran tells that the great yogis of devotion, the sages who have realized the eternal self beyond this body, and who are compassionate to all beings, they worship this age of Kali as the best of all times. Why would that be? Because along with the disqualifications people have, there's a special lesson that anyone who simply and sincerely takes shelter of the name of Krishna can achieve the supreme perfection of liberation. These verses were written well over 5,000 years ago by Vyasadeva, compiler of the Vedic literatures. And they came to fulfillment through the karuna, the parama karuna, the compassion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. Jeev jago, jeev jago, gora chandra bole, kota nidra jayo maya ki sakshira kore. We had a simple message. Wake up, sleeping souls. It's like in the morning, we need a bell to wake us up. Well, I see many of you who are sleeping are being woken up by this bell at this morning. It's very auspicious. A bell signals awakening, a calling, before artis and traditional temples that ring bell, calling, wake up and come. Krishna's waiting. Your greatest treasure and promise in life is waiting. Thakur Bhaktivinoda tells that Lord Chaitanya, he took the essence of all the four great Vaishnav sampradayas. These four great sampradayas, they are coming from the beginning of creation. The Rudra sampradaya, whose original founder is Shankar, Lord Shiva, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. The Kumar Sampradaya, begun by the original sons of Brahma, the Kumaras. The Sri Sampradaya, which is begun by Lakshmi Devi, the eternal loving consort of Vishnu. And the Brahma Sampradaya, which is established by Lord Brahma. Teni Brahma Hridar Yakada. Brahma, according to first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, is the original father and guru of everyone in this universe. As time passed, these four great acharyas, they exemplified, expanded, and delivered to the people in general the very essence of these lineages. Nimbarkacharya, Vishnu Swami, Madhvacharya, and Ramanujacharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking the essence of two ideas. Whose disappearance is today? He took the refutation of Mayavada philosophy. Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadira Dira Govinda Sarava Karana Karana. The basis of all these great bhakti teachers through these eternal lineages is that the Supreme Absolute Truth is sentient. Bhagavan, the Supreme Person. Pramiti parapatmiti bhagavan iti satyate. There are eternally three features of the One Absolute Truth. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. They are existing simultaneously forever. Parasya shaktir vivadaiva shruyate, the Upanishads tell. That the Absolute Truth has inconceivable multifarious energies or potencies. Brahman is the all-pervading, inconceivable, one truth, the light that is beyond all material existence. To enter into that light is one type of mukti or liberation, where one transcends the body, the mind, and the ahankar, the ego, and enters into the infinite light of the Supreme. Paramatma is the Lord who is within the heart of everyone, the Supersoul, who knows our every thought, who hears our every word, who sees our every action. And Suhrata Sarva Bhutanam, who is our most intimate, loving friend. A friend never leaves us. A friend in need is a friend indeed. But even if we have best friends, still, we have the free will to either accept the help of our friend or reject it. A loving mother or a loving father is such a friend, even if the child goes astray, abandons them, disobeys them. A loving mother and father is always waiting to receive them again. But cannot force. Krishna never forces. We forget the Paramatma. The Lord, who's all beautiful, who's all loving, who's all merciful, is within our heart. How is it that we can forget that He's there? After many years, many lifetimes of misusing our free will to act in disharmony, Saravasya chaham hridishani vishtoma tasimatira jnanam abohanam cha. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, I'm in everyone's heart, and I am the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. We cannot forget Krishna without His help. We cannot remember Krishna without His help. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes tell people who were scientifically, philosophically trying to establish atheism, there is no God. Prabhupada would tell them, all your arguments you're getting from God. If He doesn't give you the arguments, you can't have them. Where does your brain come from? Where does your power to think come from? Where the power to reason? And ultimately, the free will to use those things. The Lord is within our heart. However we go astray, never ever leaves us. It's always our well-wisher, always just waiting for us. There's these laws of karma that have created, and we're going up and down in this ocean of material existence, tossed by the waves of karmic reactions. That's what we do to ourselves. But still, Paramatma was there, our intimate, loving father, mother, just waiting. Come home. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijam yaham. And Krishna descends into this world again and again and again as so many avatars, Shaktyavesh avatars, Leela avatars, Guna avatars, Manu avatars, Yuga avatars. But who are those avatars? It's the Lord within our heart. We're not listening inside. We've lost connection inside. So He's coming outside. And the great avatars, Vyasadev, He's given us so many scriptures. And there's great scriptures all over the world in so many countries, in so many languages. And they're essentially just calling us back home, back to Godhead. The Guru is the representative of the Chaitya Guru. The Guru is speaking the words that is being inspired by the Lord within our own hearts, calling us back. And then Bhagavan, who is the supreme, all-loving object of everyone's love. Love is the highest pleasure, Ananda. It's dynamic. It's ecstatic. Pure being is ecstatic. But Rupa Goswami explains that the ecstasy of the liberation, of feeling the limitless love for Krishna, experiencing the beauty of Bhagavan, engaging in the service for the pleasure of Bhagavan, is limitlessly even deeper and greater. That is prema. The Lord's body, the Lord's names, the Lord's form, the Lord's pastimes, the Lord's abode, the Lord's qualities are nitya. They are eternal, satchit ananda, and full of knowledge and full of bliss. Mayavad philosophy is to say that ultimately Bhagavan's form and pastimes and qualities are maya, or illusion. With such a conception, entrance into the abode of the sweetest and highest love, it's not possible. So all these four great Vaishnava acharyas and all of their descendants establish this principle of bhakti in a personal way. So this is the first message that Lord Chaitanya took from Madhvacharya. Clarification of this misconception that Bhagavan is ultimately an illusion. And the second item is service to the deity of Krishna. Accepting the deity to be an eternal spiritual being. Here at Radha Ras Bihari Temple, there's the wonderful history of Srila Prabhupada. Hari Hari. Could everyone hear? If you can't hear, you're probably being protected. Hari Hari. This year we are celebrating the 40th anniversary of the opening of the temple that we are sitting today, Shishiradha Ras Bihari Temple. When Srila Prabhupada first got this land, he had the intuition that it's the age of Kali. Things do not come so easy. The land was bought in a completely proper way, but the person who sold it intended to ultimately cheat Srila Prabhupada. So the first thing Srila Prabhupada did is he brought the deity of Krishna and Radha and made a little shack, little hut, and put them here, and said, this is now your home, and we will build you a temple, and I promise we're going to build you a temple. And after that, years of struggle and fighting, and all the devotees gave up. This is impossible. The government, the media, people with tremendous wealth and power, Srila Prabhupada didn't have anything except love. He didn't have money. He just had a few inexperienced Western devotees. Guru Das, who is sitting among us, was one of them. But Srila Prabhupada promised the deity, we're going to make a temple for you here. And against every impossible situation, devotees would tell Prabhupada, we can't fight these people, it's impossible. Prabhupada's words, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. It's impossible for you, it's impossible for me. But what is impossible for Krishna? We are doing this for Krishna. Krishna wants this. It wasn't a fight with swords or guns or armies. Srila Prabhupada was simply armed with love and devotion. And he was very uncompromising with his love and devotion. And that little swamp filled with mosquitoes and snakes where Radharani and Krishna were living is now the most popular temple in all of Mumbai. Radharaspyari. So Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of these great acharyas, taught us the deity, when the presence of the Supreme Being is invoked according to Vedic guidelines by those who love the Lord, Krishna appears to accept our offerings. I once heard someone challenge Prabhupada that the deity is material. How could God be in the deity? God is unlimited. How could you limit God by putting him in a little material form if God is unlimited? Is that a good argument? Srila Prabhupada? He said, if God is unlimited, then why are you limiting him by saying he can't receive our love and devotion in the form of the deity? That's a limitation. Bhagavan himself worshiped deities to show us by example. A tangible, personal way in which we could completely focus our mind in love and devotion to the Lord. Making garlands, cooking offerings, singing, dancing, singing, meditation. And it's not just a symbol of something that we're meditating on. This is not what the scriptures or the great acharyas have taught. They have taught deity of Ram, Sita, Lakshman, Hanuman, deity of Narasingha, deity of Lakshmi, Narayan, deities of Radha, Ras, Bihari. The Supreme Being, who is unlimited, accepts that form just to reciprocate with us in a way that we're able to completely focus our consciousness. Sripad Madhvacharya, who according to the scriptures is a avatar of Vayu, Hanuman, and Bhima. Same tattva. On the seashore near Udupi, once he was sitting chanting beautiful stotras, prayers of devotion, calling for the Lord. At that time, there was a great storm. The winds were blowing very hard. There was a boat, a cargo ship. It was being tossed by the waves. It was on the verge of sinking. And the captain of the boat, he was in such desperation, he lost all hope. Everything was totally out of his control. He happened to see Madhvacharya, this great sannyasi, yogi sage, sitting on the seashore, and called out, "Help!" Shripad Madhvacharya took his chatter and just went like this, and the storm ended. It was of a completely peaceful, sunny day, within a second. For a descendant, an incarnation of Vayu, it's not a problem to change the course of the wind. So that person came to shore and said, "I have so many valuable wares on this boat. I'd like to give you anything you want." It was vessels and furniture and whatever else. He was a merchant. "Anything, take it. Give you everything." Madhvacharya said, "Where are you coming from?" "It's coming from Dwarka." "Oh, Dwarka. Do you have any Gopi Chandan?" "What is Gopi Chandan?" "It's clay. Clay from the very place where Krishna and Sri Radha and the gopis performed their pastimes, just outside of Dwarka." And that Gopi Chandan is the dust from the lotus feet of Krishna, Sri Radha, and gopis. And that is what we use for our tilak every day to this day. So Madhvacharya said, "Do you have any of this clay?" He said, "Yes, we actually have two big clumps of this clay that we use just to balance both sides of the boat." He didn't see any monetary value to this, but it's good for balancing weight. Madhvacharya said, "Yes, please give me that." He took off the Gopi Chandan, very heavy, big piece. Madhvacharya chanted prayers and the Gopi Chandan opened, and inside was the deity of Krishna. The history of that deity, when Krishna was living in Dwarka, Devaki, his mother, she said to Krishna that here in Dwarka you are a great prince, living in royalty, with so many palaces and so many consorts. In Vrindavan, you were just a mischievous cowherd boy, so sinful. Used to steal butter. The very night that you appeared from my womb, from my heart, you told us to bring you to Gokul Mahaban, where Nanda and Yashoda were to be your mother and father. So for all your childhood pastimes, Yashoda Mai had the great fortune of being your mother. And I was in prison for all those days, shackled by Kamsa. And I only met you again physically when you were grown up. I want to see, with my motherly love, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Because we can't see Krishna with eyes. Even when the deity is there, if we don't have faith, if we don't have the desire to love and serve, the deity looks like a piece of stone. Srila Prabhupada said, if you approach Krishna as the all-beautiful, all-loving, supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna reveals himself like that to you. You approach as a piece of stone, all you'll see is a piece of stone. Yeyata mam prapadyante tams de daiva bhajamya. Devaki wanted to see Krishna's playful pastimes. So suddenly Krishna became little Gopal.
Dwarkadish
became Makanchur.
From the great royal prince of Dwarka, who was delivering and liberating the greatest tyrants effortlessly,
now became a little baby. He was crawling around the palace, and he was still running around and stealing butter. Rukmini happened to see this, and she fell in love with that little Krishna. Rukmini is Krishna's principal queen of Dwarka. She said to Krishna, I want to worship that form.
So sweet.
In Dwarka, Krishna's Aishwarya Bhav. He's loved because of his greatness, his royalty, his opulence. In Vrindavan, Madhurya Bhav. His love for his sweetness. So Krishna manifested a deity of Gopal. One hand he's holding a stick for churning butter. He also has a little rope for twirling the stick. He has some butter also. So at the time after Krishna left this world, there was a great flood. And that deity was lost. Somehow or other, that deity was in the Gopi Talab, the lake where the Gopi Chandan comes from. It went into the earth. And Krishna wanted to be with Madhvacharya. That's all. So somehow or other, he got somebody to dig out that dirt and big clump of clay to balance the ship. And the clay broke open, it was beautiful Krishna. A self-manifested Murti of over 5,000 years. And here is Sripad Madhvacharya. He picked up the deity himself, and as he was carrying to Udupi from the seashore, he composed beautiful prayers of love, which for the followers of the Madhva Sampradaya, these prayers are held most sacred. And how he worshipped the form of the Lord. He was such a scholar. Such a knower of Vedanta. But he served the deity of Krishna with such intimate love, accepting the Murti to be an eternal spiritual being, Krishna. And to this day, the same exact standards that Sripad Madhvacharya established for the deity of Udupi Krishna over 750 years ago are still being honored in one of the most important temples in the world. The refutation of God's form and pastimes being illusion. Krishna's name. Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasvikra. Krishna's name is Krishna. It's not just a sound vibration that we meditate on. Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. The name of Krishna has all the power, all the beauty, all the sweetness, all the mercy and love of Krishna is present within the name. Rupa Goswami, he wrote a beautiful prayer. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When I chant the name of Krishna, Krishna appears to dance on my tongue, and I desire many, many, many mouths, because it's so sweet. And when that name of Krishna, these two syllables, enter my ears, I desire millions and millions of ears. And when it enters into my heart, it conquers my life. When we have the spirit of seva, spirit to be the das das anudas, servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And we associate with people who are sincerely loving or aspiring to love the Lord. Shushu shoshadadanasya basudeva katashuti. This taste for hearing the names and glories of the Lord comes by serving great personalities. Then Krishna reveals more and more the nectar, the ras of the holy names. From the Ramanuja Sampradaya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted two essential principles. Bhakti that is unmixed by a desire for material acquisition or liberation. Na danam na chanam na sundarim kavitam bhajagadisha kamaye mama janamani janmani shri bhavata bhakti rohoiti. Mahaprabhu took this essence. I do not come to you, Krishna. I do not pray, I do not worship, I do not chant your holy names, I do not serve you with any desire for wealth, for fame, prestige, to be a great scholar or poet or author. I don't want supernatural yogic cities. I do not even want liberation from all suffering, mukti. My only aspiration, Krishna, is that I may serve you and please you, according to your wishes, birth after birth after birth, if that is what you desire. Krishna, if you want to, if you can embrace me, you can trample on me, or you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You are free to do anything and everything you like, because I'm here for you, Krishna. Maro birago bijo ichato ha nityata saprati tua adita. Bhakti Vinod Thakur prayed like this. Krishna, if you want to protect me, protect me. If you want to destroy me, destroy me. I'm happy. I'm yours. Whatever way you want to deal with me, I'm your servant unconditionally. Manaso deho geho chokichu toha. I'm sorry. Manaso deho geho chokichu mo. Arpi luntu apadi nanda pishu. My body, my mind, my home, my family, my wealth, my abilities, my influence. Everything is yours, Krishna. I surrender it all to you, Sharanagati. This was emphasized by Sri Ramanujacharya. The purpose and goal of our bhakti is samsiddhi haritosha, to please the Supreme Lord, to love the Supreme Lord. Ahoitakiya pratihata, unmotivated and uninterrupted by anything but seva, pleasure of the Lord. And Ramanujacharya also emphasized service to the devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received this principle from him. Kopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Dasa 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 Anudas. Mahaprabhu talked like this in his own life. The way he lived, he exemplified it in every single one of his true devotees throughout history. Madhbhakta Puja Pyadika, the Adi Purana tells. Krishna says, one who says he's my devotee is not really pleasing me. But one who is a devotee of my devotee is truly pleasing me. The Lord Chaitanya extended that. I don't want to just be a devotee of your devotee. I want to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Anu. Nothing from me. If you want to please the Lord, we please those who the Lord loves. And the Lord loves everyone, but especially those who love the Lord, because they can reveal to us the inner secrets of the truth. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Navadvipa, although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's Bhagavan, he revealed his universal form at times. He revealed all the various incarnations at times, the principal ones. When he would see a devotee at the Ganga washing their clothes, he would take the clothes and wash for them. They, no, no, Nimai, don't, we can do it. Let me do, let me do. And he'd see them carrying something home. He would take it from their hands and carry it all the way home. They were doing puja, he would bring them flowers, he would bring them articles. His greatest aspiration, be the servant of the servant of the servant. And Vishnu Swami, he took the concept of exclusive dependence on Krishna. In the Vishnu Swami lineage, was Sripad Vallabhacharya. This was the heart of his message, Sri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Unconditional desire to take shelter of Krishna. Krishna, I am yours. I have no other shelter. Prinadapi sunichena tarori pasahishuna amanina manatena kirtaniya sadahari. Lord Chaitanya taught this as an essential verse to study and assimilate. To be more humble than a blade of grass. Tolerant like a tree. Forgiving. Kind. A tree is giving its life for everyone. In the summer when there's a drought, the tree hasn't had a drop of water in months, it's giving ripe, juicy mangoes to us. The blazing summer, standing in the sun, giving shade to us. Cut off a limb, take the wood, and then we burn it. So that we could be warm. That's true. To offer all respect to others, not to expect any respect for oneself. In this humble state of mind, we can fully depend on Krishna. Little Prahlad Maharaj, even though he was in impossible situations, he didn't have physical strength. It is dependent on Krishna. This entire Radharas Bihari temple, everything that we have here, it was all manifested because through the most impossible challenges, Srila Prabhupada just totally depended on Krishna. And when you depend on Krishna, you become truly compassionate to others and fearless, courageous. Arjuna depended on Krishna against all odds in Kurukshetra. And Sripad Balabhacharya, Vishnu Swami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took from them the path of Raga Bhakti, spontaneous love. By following the rules and regulations of bhakti, it brings us to the point where Krishna's pleas reveals to us spontaneous love. Love with deep attachment. An attachment that goes to the very core of our own souls. And from the Nimbarka Sampradaya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the principle of seeking shelter of the love and the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And the second principle was the high esteem for the gopis' love for Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that the most concentrated, fullest, deepest essence of all love, meaning it includes every other aspect of love, is the gopis' love. There are various levels of love of God, and each one is perfect and complete in itself. The love of gopis includes all others. When Krishna had a headache, and he sent his messengers to great sages and rishis in their hermitages, Krishna tells that if you give the dust of your feet to place on his headache will be relieved. We're not going to put our feet on Krishna's head. Dirt from our feet will go to hell. So everywhere Krishna's representative, Narada, was going, everyone was saying, no, no, we can't do that. Krishna said, go to the gopis. They immediately started scraping dust from their feet and putting them in little boxes and saying, bring it to Krishna immediately, immediately. He said, don't you know what will happen if I put this dust from your feet on God's head? He said, yes, we'll go to hell. It doesn't matter. We're willing to go to hell forever if it gives Krishna one moment of relief from his headache. That is inconceivable. Nobody can imitate that. But it's truly the nature of their love. Tomorrow being Ramanujacharya's disappearance day, I'd like to say just a little something about Sripad Ramanujacharya before I end today's class. A few weeks ago, I went to Sri Purambudur. Have any of you been there? Please raise your hands. It's the birthplace of Sripad Ramanujacharya. I especially wanted to go because this year that we're living in marks the 1,000th birthday of Sripad Ramanujacharya. That's quite auspicious. And I was thinking, if I don't go to his birth site this year, I don't know if I'll be around in 1,000 years for his 2,000th birthday. So I went. It's beautiful. Such a holy place. There's a wonderful murti of Ramanujacharya there. When Sripad Ramanujacharya was in his last days in this world, devotees wanted a murti of him. Ramanujacharya is Lakshman, Balaram, according to their teachings, an incarnation, Ananta. So Ramanujacharya had an artist make a deity that looked exactly like him. Then Ramanujacharya embraced that deity and breathed in the deity's Vitamban's head and said, I am now present forever in this form. And whoever approaches this form with a question, with a sincere heart taking shelter, I will personally give the answer to those questions in the heart. That deity was brought by Ramanuja's direction to Sri Puranpudura. Now there's two related stories I'd like to share with you. The first one is very well known. Sripad Ramanujacharya was a disciple of Yamunacharya. He became the acharya of the largest school of yoga, bhakti yoga, in the whole of South India. Incredible amounts and quality of followers he had. He took initiation from Mahapurna, who was one of his godbrothers, because Yamunacharya left this world before Ramanuja took initiation. But Mahapurna and all the others, they all, even though they were so exalted, so much older, and so learned, and so close to their guru, they saw that Ramanuja had the most qualification. They made him their leader. There was no competition of ego. Whatever's best for the service of Bhagavan is what all of them want. So one day Mahapurna said to Ramanuja that you should receive a special mantra from my godbrother, Gostipurna. Now, Gostipurna lived a long distance away, about 100 miles. Ramanuja walked from Srirangam, the capital of Sri Vaishnavism. Today it's the largest temple in all of India, and it was then too. He walked all the way with his principal disciples, Dasarathi, Kuresh. He approached Gostipurna and said, my guru wants me to accept an initiation into the mantra from you. Gostipurna, he said, I do not easily give this mantra. I don't give this mantra to anybody. A person has to be completely detached from material life to receive this mantra. Let me think about it. Ramanuja went back about 90 miles back to Srirangam. And he came back. It's a long walk. Gostipurna, he said, I haven't decided whether I should give it to you. Come back another time. Back and forth. He went 17 times over a period of time. And one day a devotee from Srirangam came to Gostipurna and said, Ramanuja's crying because he feels that he's so unqualified to receive the mantra that his guru has told him to receive. The next time Ramanuja came, Hastipura's heart was very soft. He said, you are the one person in this world that is fit to receive this mantra. If anyone has any inclinations toward material pleasure, gratification, or has any ego, they can't have this mantra. Because anyone who chants this mantra sincerely will go to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. So I will give this mantra to you and you alone, and I order you to never repeat it to anyone. And he gave him the mantra. Ramanujacharya bowed down to the feet of his guru, Gostipuna. He's returning to Sri Rangam. On the way, he saw so many people. People just roaming about. Some were suffering. Some were poor. Some were suffering. They were rich. Some were suffering. They were scholars. Some were suffering. They were illiterate. But everybody was all mixed up. He was feeling ecstatic love for Narayan. He couldn't bear seeing people without this love for the Lord. So he proclaimed, I have a great treasure, and I want to distribute this treasure freely to everyone comes, come to this temple at this particular time. The word spread. Thousands of people came. Because everyone wants something from a treasure. And he went, he saw so many people, so he got on the rooftop of the temple. He said, now I'm going to give you the treasure of all treasures, which will make you truly wealthy and happy. Would you like it? And they were all cheering, yes, yes, yes. He said, repeat after me. And they all raised their arms. And he called out the mantra. He called it out in such a loud voice from the top roof of the temple. It's like, we're at the top roof of the temple. Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namo Narayanaya. Suddenly everyone was looking at each other. They were brothers, they were sisters, they were family in God's love. They were looking at each other with pure compassion. By the mercy of Ramanujacharya, they were weeping and crying in gratitude. And Ramanujacharya was so moved by that, he went back to his guru, Gostipurna's ashram, to thank him for giving him such a merciful mantra that helped so many people. Meanwhile, Gostipurna, he heard this loud kirtan of the secret mantra. Just within about an hour or so of when he gave the mantra, he was furious. Ramanuja came, so humble, along with his disciples. And he bowed, he dandavat pranams to Gostipurna. Ramanuja, tears in his eyes, folded his palms. Gostipurna would not even look at him. He screamed.
He said, get out from my sight, you wretched, sinful being. Out from here. I never want to see your face again. I ordered you to never give anyone that mantra. And you defied my instruction. And now you have taken the sacred, secret mantra that has been concealed for so many long generations of great yogis, and you've given it to everybody. You've ruined everything. Get out from here. Because of this offense, you will go to hell.
It's not good to make a guru angry. Unless you're Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya, with total respect, humility, and gratitude, he said to Gosthipurna, he said, I know what you said, that it's a secret and I shouldn't tell anyone. And I took that very seriously. But you told me anyone who chants this mantra sincerely will be liberated from suffering and go to the kingdom of the Lord by Kunta, to be an eternal associate with the Lord. As I was walking home, I saw so many people suffering due to forgetfulness of Narayan. I couldn't bear it. My dear Gurudev, what is the loss if one insignificant little person like me goes to hell forever? If all these thousands and thousands and thousands of people go back home, back to Godhead, Vaikuntha? Gosthipurna. He cried. He bowed down to his disciple Ramanujacharya. He said, you are so merciful, you are so kind. Padadukaduki. A true saint is one who other people's happiness is their happiness and other people's suffering is their suffering. You are living that. I don't have that. From this day on, Ramanujacharya, you are my guru and I am your disciple. He bowed to Ramanuja. Ramanuja bowed to Gosthipurna and said, no, guru, not like that, not like that, Guru Maharaj. It's only by your causeless mercy that all these people have been delivered today. I'm your servant forever. Gosthipurna embraced him, bathed Ramanujacharya with his tears. I'm going to tell another story. On the banks of the river Kaveri in Sri Rangam, in the summer, when it's 45 degrees Celsius, 110 degrees Fahrenheit. Really hot. In the middle of the day. And the sand on the bank of the river is like blazing hot coals. Burning hot. Intolerably hot. Gosthipurna happened to come to Sri Rangam. Sorry, that was a lot of rings. But I'll end really soon. He called for Ramanuja. And Ramanuja again came with many of his loving disciples. When Ramanujacharya saw his guru, Gosthipurna, who gave him the mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya, who was so exalted like a father to him. Sri Pad Ramanuja didn't try to show, I'm a guru, and he's a guru. And he's not like that. He's my guru. Right in front of all of his disciples, Ramanujacharya, with complete, genuine, pure humility, offered his dandavat pranams. That means laying your body completely flat like a stick in humility. But the problem was, nobody could even stand with their feet on that sand. And he was laying his entire body on the sand. And all he had is a little dhoti and chadar. Now, the tradition in those days, people do not follow it so much today. And please, don't follow it now. It was the tradition then. When you bow down to your guru, you don't get up until he calls you to get up. So here is Ramanujacharya laying flat on this red, hot sand, face down. And everyone was expecting Gostipurna to say, all blessings upon you, Ramanuja. As soon as the guru blesses you, you could get up. Gostipurna didn't say a word. Didn't make a single gesture. So Ramanujacharya laying there. His body was burning. And Gostipurna was just standing for several minutes went by. He didn't say anything. Now, what is the condition of the loving disciples of Ramanujacharya? He's their guru. Gostipurna is his guru. Gostipurna is their param guru, their grandfather guru. They're trying to follow in the footsteps of Ramanuja. Ramanuja is so respectful to Gostipurna, he's willing to burn to death before breaking the etiquette of getting up. Without Gostipurna's invitation, without his blessing. So what are they supposed to do? Their hearts are burning. Our guru's getting burnt to death. He's physically suffering terribly. This is burning our hearts. But he respects his guru so much. If we respect him, we have to respect his guru like he respects his guru, so we can't say anything. So they're all sitting there, they're suffering, they're crying, they don't know what to do. And Ramanuja's silently laying there getting burnt, and Gostipurna's just
grave.
Silent. We can't chastise our guru. We can't say anything. We can't not say anything. Suddenly, one particular devotee just hold it in. He said, Gostipurna, my param guru, why don't you let my guru get up? Why are you doing this to him?
Everyone was shocked.
Because Gostipurna was known for having a temper when you transgress the proper traditions. There was complete silence.
Huh?
How could he chastise Gostipurna? Ramanuja was still laying there. Gostipurna smiled. He blessed Ramanuja and invited him to get up. Then Gostipurna, he said, I did this on purpose. You see Ramanujacharya, he's not so burnt. I wanted to see who among you
was willing to make such an offense to their Param Guru where they could be punished severely by the laws of karma because of their love for their Guru. This particular devotee who questioned me,
he loves his Guru so much, he's willing to suffer terribly offenses to protect him.
I wanted to see who among you loves your Guru like this. From this day on, this particular devotee should be Sripad Ramanujacharya's personal cook, because he has so much love for his Guru, he will cook with such devotion and surrender, with so much care. There's a saying, you are what you eat. Who cooks for Krishna? Srimati Radharani. In Vrindavan, Yashoda Mai is Krishna's mother, but she understood Sri Radha has the deepest love, the deepest devotion. So Yashoda Mai invited Sri Radharani to cook for Krishna at Pavan Sarovara Nandagaon every day. This particular devotee, Ramanujacharya, lived 125 years. He was Ramanujacharya's cook for the rest of Ramanujacharya's life. That was his qualification. That was his love. Love is not just a sentiment. Karuna, compassion, is not just a feeling. It's a profound feeling that activates and motivates sacrifice for the pleasure of the Prophet. And that sacrifice is the sweetest. The most wonderful, fulfilling experience for the heart and for the soul. Because Krishna reciprocates, gives himself fully, according to how we seek shelter and how we serve with love. In 1974, right here, Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Temple, Hare Krishna Land in Juhu, Mumbai, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada completed Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Upon his completion, he wrote a beautiful end note to the entire 17 volumes at that time of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was on Rami Kadasi in the month of Kartik. He tells how he first met his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in 1922, and was given the instruction at their first meeting, please take this message of pure love for Krishna as taught by Lord Chaitanya to the English language in the Western world. And Srila Prabhupada gives a little summary of his whole life from the time he got that instruction, and how he was living in Bombay. 1936, he wrote a letter to his Guru Maharaj. I'm a householder. I have a family and children
So many brahmacharis, sannyasis are living with you. How could I best serve you? He received a letter with the same instruction. And very soon after that, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur departed from this mortal world. To please his guru, Srila Prabhupada explains in this beautiful ending to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita epilogue, he writes that there is the Vapu and the Vani of the spiritual master. The Vapu is the physical presence, which is sacred. And the Vani is the instructions that the spiritual master gives us. The Vani is forever. And that's our eternal connection to our gurus. How we follow his teachings as the servant of the servant of the servants. Prabhupada writes, I have never felt that my guru was not with me in my heart. And he had spent 18 months translating and writing purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he completed that great literature here. Like Ramanujacharya, he went on that boat, the Jaladuta. He endured heart attacks, seasickness. He was in the Bowery. He was robbed. He was threatened. He had no food. Sometimes no shelter. It was freezing cold. No warm clothes, hardly. But he stayed there in New York City. He had a stroke. And probably more difficult than all those things, then he started having to deal with people like us. And giving his life, Gurudas Prabhu could speak on this subject for hours and days and weeks and months and years, and maybe for eternity, because he was with Prabhupada in those days, personally. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say to his disciples, you are all representatives of my Guru Maharaj. He saw his Guru in all of you, in all of us. And he was willing to make the greatest difficulties joyfully. He never left Vrindavan. The gopis' love for Krishna is pleasing Krishna in any way Krishna wants. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, they were gopas and gopis that came to this world, so many of them in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Rai, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Shivananda Sen, Haridas Thakur. They were expressing their love. Gadadhar Pandit was Sri Radha. By spreading the holy name around this world, Mahajana Yena Gadasa Pandit. Srila Prabhupada wanted everyone to be happy, truly happy, eternally happy, in Krishna's love. That is the message of Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya and the message of all the great acharyas. That happiness is especially accessible through the congregational chanting of the holy name.